Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, so Dell in the rundown gave us the Rockets' schedule. Player workouts will begin on Wednesday, July 1st here in Houston. Then on July 9th, they will fly to Florida, spend 2 days in isolation, and practices will start July 11th. After approximately 10 days of team practices, the Rockets are going to play three scrimmages in the window of July 22nd through July 29th against other teams staying at their same hotel. And then on July 30th, the eight-game season will begin. The Rockets have clinched the spot already. So that's the timeline. They have to test positive all along the way. If they don't, they can't travel with the team. They can get themselves to Orlando, but then they have to test negative, and they have to isolate for two more days on top of that. So that's the schedule. And then in an article just below that one, there's James Harden. James, I didn't see this. James Harden was voted by fans as top one-on-one player in NBA history. Do you guys see that?
I heard about it. That's great.
But here's the story. Of course, Daryl Morey says it's just factual that he's a better scorer than NBA legend Michael Jordan. In NBA Mass fan-voted tournament, every historical NBA player available is an option. Harden was selected as the league's all-time champion for one-on-one play. He defeated Michael Jordan in the final round with 56.3% of the vote. He won 21-19. Apparently, there were only 40 people that cared about this and voted James, 40 people, 21-19. He defeated Michael Jordan as the NBA's NBA Math's all-time one-on-one champion.
Oh, well, now that you say it like that.
No, it wasn't that. That was a score, 21-19.
I don't think so.
Because I'm looking. You sure?
He won with a 56.3% of the vote, which is 21-19.
Because they have brackets, and as I go, as I click on the NBA Math.
Yeah, I think the fan voting determines your points you score, John.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was close in the voting, then he won 21-19.
Nearly 4,300 votes were cast in the championship round. Okay.
Yeah, the percentage, I guess, is representative of the 21-19 score.
How many times did Daryl go? Tch.
But only 4,300 votes in a championship round seems really low.
Yeah, I wonder who they were opening this vote to.
And can you vote more than once? Do you think Rockets fans?
Not usually. Not if it's a Twitter. Well, no, it's not. It's probably on a website.
NBAMath.com.
Yeah.
NBAMath.com.
So you think they'd have, considering what they're called, they'd have the ability to limit you from just flaming the vote with James over and over again.
I don't know.
So
James got his fans, and that's nice. That's nice.
And maybe it was Rocket fans got it. It hit Clutch fans, and maybe Rocket fans went in there and did a lot of voting. Because here's the thing. Nationally, I don't feel like James is this popular. I think he's respected, so you do have to differentiate respect and popularity. But I don't know if he's popular enough to win a fan vote. Once again, 4,300 votes is nothing, relatively speaking. But for him to beat Michael Jordan 56-43%, that's a little unusual based on the amount of people who are just anti James Harden despite his ability.
Yeah, and these brackets are broken down by you played someone of your same height in the first round or at least reasonably close. Like, for example, James played Dwayne Wade in round one, 6-4, 6-5. 6-4 champion versus 6-5 champion, and James won that by 21-20. So the vote was actually closer for James versus Dwayne Wade than it was for James versus Michael. He played Steph Curry next, 21-20 score. So I don't know who they got to vote, but apparently they're I would imagine if it was Michael versus Steph Curry, Michael would have won by more, but James's closest battles were against other players.
Huh. Against other peers.
Yeah.
At guys, his time.
Guys right. who have kind of played in his – Wade's a little bit before because obviously older. But, yeah, in the same time frame, him and Steph, him and Wade, yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. So, yeah, I would imagine it is Rocket fandom because you're right, Lance. And Michael Jordan doesn't really have a – I mean, I think that that's just – Right? I mean, there's no bull. The Bulls wouldn't jump on. Bulls fans wouldn't jump on this and jump ball. I don't know. Maybe they would. I don't know. But, you know, I don't. There's probably a lot of younger voters. I don't know that there's a lot of 50-year-olds that watch Michael Jordan play that are on there going, I got to vote for Mike here. I got to. Mike's got to be.
4,300 votes tells you all you need to know. This is, you know, there's not really a lot to talk about here. It's not. If we want to talk about where he ranks in terms of one-on-one players, I think James Harden ranks pretty high, all-time one-on-one players.
Yeah.
How many guys have the range, the ability to shoot from that distance and to finish at the rim? He's big. He's strong. He has the ability to separate and create space for his shot. He's got handles. He can go left or right. Like, James is a one-on-one dream. He really is. And I think he could post in the low post. I think if James decided – and the offense decided, hey, let's take advantage of James in a post. I have no doubt that James could learn to become a dominant low post one-on-one scorer as well.
Yeah, it's more than your opinion on this. It's factual, Daryl says. Now, we did a piece, and you and I did a sports map piece in which we debated Daryl Morey being voted as the second best GM by The Ringer, which is a Bill Simmons-held company. And Bill Simmons, and obviously he has other NBA people. However, you know, I mean, they discuss NBA with each other. Bill Simmons is a big Daryl Morey fan from his days with the Celtics.
But he loves Daryl Morey. All basketball intelligentsia are Daryl Morey fans. I think that needs to be said. Zach Lowe, I mean, all of the basketball thinkers and all the basketball, I don't want to just say hipsters. I mean, the people who get into the numbers and the data, they're – I think pretty much without fail, fans of what Daryl Morey has done, just based on the numbers alone.
Yeah, no. He's rightfully so. I, you know, I don't know if Daryl was upset or anything that I may have said about it. I understand that Daryl is one of the best GMs in the league. It's interesting to note that they voted him second when Daryl Morey has not gotten none of his teams have gotten to the NBA Finals, and he has admitted that he hasn't done enough to get James there.
No, so I don't think Daryl was upset at all. He was just putting context to his time frame. He is in any 5-year span, the Rockets are inside the top 2 records in the NBA during his time frame. Any 5-year span you want,
which is difficult to do.
Which is extremely almost impossible to do.
Yes. Which is extreme. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly, and I do. I think Daryl's one of the best GMs. And you can. I don't want Manny Fresh to call in now because Manny would, you know, obviously have a differing opinion. But I don't know that there's any other GM that could keep an organization at this playing at peak at one of the top levels in the NBA over this time frame, over this long a period of time.
What were their rankings? He was 2. Who was 1?
That probably was
Golden State.
Might have been an Oklahoma City in 1 or maybe a Miami. Down in Miami. How long was LeBron there?
Well, they won a title. Riley's been there before, and they won a title before LeBron got there.
Yeah, you'd have to go through and do the rolling 5-year average, but obviously Golden State
was
certainly
the number one over the last 5.
So he's a better GM than the R.C. Buford / Greg Popovich?
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, Masai Ujiri is the one who Daryl said he's number one. Daryl even texted like he's definitely number one. So in his opinion, that's the number one guy. But it's funny, who is Boston, who is Golden State?
What about Bob Myers? How is Bob Myers
I was just getting ready to get to that. That's the Golden State GM. But if I said who is the Golden State GM, and I just asked that general question to the listeners, many of you wouldn't know. Because he doesn't, but Bob Myers doesn't get any love, it seems like. Right. There's no love, and he did draft Clay, he did draft Steph, he did draft Draymond. Like though, I think he was involved in all three of those drafts. That's really hitting at a high mark. That's really an understanding of chemistry. And he's added players who have been great for the Golden State Warriors chemistry. He has added rim protectors at different times, you know, with an understanding of, look, we have a certain type of team, but we need to get Bogut, or we need to have JaVale. We need to have a rim protector at some point.
I will say he took over in 11, so he didn't draft
Steph. Oh, so he didn't have Steph then.
I don't know when Clay got there either. So the key piece. Now he put a team together. Some people would say, well, the players got Kevin Durant there, but
he was there in 2000. Did he draft
Clay?
I think he drafted Clay.
Clay and yeah. Draymond are on his resume, and then he put the pieces around him. Even before he built the 73-win team before Kevin Durant got there, with Harrison Barnes, I think, is another of his draft picks, and Draymond, and obviously the role players he built to get that team to a spot where they won a title without Kevin Durant, and then got the 73 wins without Kevin Durant.
And is he not? It's because to me that he's got to be second. What Golden State has done and what he has been able to put together, and even though he didn't get Steph, that's the only piece to that major piece to that puzzle that he didn't get.
Well, yeah. I don't know how hard the bringing Kevin Durant in was, but
what I'm saying is people might not give him credit for that, but he built the team before Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
why does Phil Jackson get all that credit and Bob Myers doesn't? I mean, honestly, I mean so. So, and oh, by the way, we've seen Phil Jackson when he doesn't have Michael or Kobe. But to me, that, I mean, Bob Myers, good Lord. And you know what? Who else is rivaling him is Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge is doing a hell of a job in Boston.
Ainge has done a good job.
The players that he's brought in?
Yeah, Ainge has done a nice job. There's some good GMs in the NBA. But, I mean, Daryl is right there, and Daryl's lasted longer than most of those. But like with all those GMs, there's not many dips. Daryl has had one season, if I recall, under 50 wins. That's incredibly difficult to do. Danny Ainge had that dip when Kyrie was there, the basketball cancer. And obviously last year was a tough year for Golden State because their best players are hurt. Oh, I say last year. This year was a tough year for Golden State. But yeah, I think Houston, I mean, if Morey was ever let go of, it would be an immediate signing. Or immediately when teams were able to sign him, there would be a bidding war for Daryl Morey. I mean, it's not even arguable. I'm telling you, it's not even arguable. And I have a firm belief that because of Daryl's methodology, I think he could go into another sport and have success.
I don't think it hurts his cause in this whole ranking thing that he has. I don't know if he's done it on purpose or it was a political move, but he has ingratiated himself with NBA media. I don't think it hurt. I don't think it hurts. Now he has numbers to back it up, but there's a very positive opinion about Daryl Morey with these types of sites. Well, because he will talk to them.
Yeah, and especially at the Ringer.
He is NBA Twitter's GM. I will say that. And The Ringer is they're not a Twitter-based site or podcasting, but they live on Twitter as well. Their interactions and the people who write for them are Twitter people. Daryl's done a good job of being
available
to those
NBA
sites.
Basketball. Like Daryl is an available GM.
Yeah,
he is an available GM.
Yep.
I mean, except in radio now because 790 gets mad.
914 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's a little disappointing, but Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair recreated their Cruel Intentions kiss. Do you remember that?
I do remember that one, Your Honor. I'll allow it, Dell. I'll allow it. I want to see where this goes. Continue.
Well, here's the deal is the original scene is really good. It's really good. And then now, though, Sarah Michelle Gellar is wearing a mask with lips on.
Hold on. It's just, that's why they did it?
Yeah. I got my kiss at Selma Blair, Gellar wrote. I'm sorry, but that's disappointing. But going back and watching the original scene was good. It was good to, you know, relive it.
Counsel, your witness is treading on thin ice.
No further questions.
That's not on. Why am I always on trial here?
Well, because you say flagrant things, so they always need to be put on trial.
No, I'm going to plead the fifth from now on.
Because we are always on trial. Any show right now, you're always potentially on trial. And if you're going to say something that gets a conviction, then I have to do my job as counsel and try to get it stricken from the record or try to muzzle my own or ask you to plead the fifth. I mean, there's a variety of things that I have to do to offer my, you know, I have to do my best to represent you. I took an oath.
No, you don't have an oath to protect me from myself, okay?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Well, maybe Wendy's paying you, okay? That could possibly happen. Just to make sure that I don't bring the entire family down. Okay, I get that.
John would be the client or the defendant who says, no, I'm going to represent myself. And the judge would say, I advise against you doing that, sir.
That's dumb.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. No, I swear, I've read two law books. I'm good.
No. I swatched Law and Order. Well, I can do this.
That would be, that would be your frame of reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I would say. I watched Law and Order. I know everything about this trial.
I've learned everything I know in law from Detective Munch.
not much so much.
We watched enough to know what we can allow, what we can't allow, how the judicial system works pretty much. We know.
Yeah.
We know how it works.
713-780-3776. Who wants to talk some golf? Get in here. 713-780-3776. If you want, not one person has called with, or did you? Have you just the board lit up and you guys just totally ignored it?
We had one guy that called, but he didn't.
He did?
I don't think he wanted to talk golf. I think it was baseball coverage.
Well, right? Let's talk. All right, come on, let's talk golf, everybody.
Like I said, that's not the.
I'm
that's
watching
not the thing.
Tyler McCumber right now tee off. Ooh, my goodness! It hit the fence and it whirled right into the middle of the fairway. Holy crap! Tyler McCumber. Y'all don't know nothing about Tyler.
Play-by-play golf on pandemic radio
about a guy no one's ever heard of.
I actually never heard of him either. I think
he's in 2020.
Zeke is in a little bit more trouble. Zeke, a woman who was cleaning Zeke Elliott's pool at his Frisco, Texas home in March, filed a lawsuit against the Dallas Cowboys star. She claims his three dogs violently attacked her. The woman claims Elliott's Rottweiler bit her arm and dragged her, and then his two bulldogs began attacking her legs. She said she was bit multiple times before being taken to the emergency room in immense pain. That's probably.
It just seems like ever since the Cowboys drafted Ezekiel Elliott, there's always something.
Has he gone one off season without there being an issue?
I don't know, man. There is always something going on with Ezekiel Elliott. Always.
Think last year, it was his issues in Vegas when he was like
pushed the attendant. Right?
Was it year before where he pulled the girls? Like I can't even believe he made it out of. I can't believe he made it as an NFL player. Like he didn't get completely canceled. where there's video of him grabbing a girl's top and pulling it down and exposing her at a at a Mardi Gras parade. That's like crazy to me that he is that nothing happened to him relative to. Granted, that was in the midst of he was suspended early in that season, but that was, you know, that was also due to concerns over domestic violence.
Yeah, that was his domestic violence. Last offseason, or before, that was in 2017. He had a lawsuit filed against him over a car collision in 18. He had the Las Vegas incident in 19. And now he's got these three dogs attacking a woman in his backyard, cleaning his pool in 20. I mean,
so to answer your question, no, Del, every offseason.
He's heading towards Joe DiMaggio. Okay, he's got a streak that so far, I mean, it's hard to argue. This dude's on his way to DiMaggio or maybe even Cal Ripken numbers.
And you know his reasoning, at least how he defended himself after he pulled that woman's top down.
What
he said: "There's no way she would have been mad at me because we had sex afterwards later that night."
Oh, okay. All right, Your Honor, defense rests.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your excuse, like I said, how is he still playing football in 2020?
The NFL didn't have all the facts. He insisted the woman is a friend, and he says he had consent to grab her shirt because she wanted him to.
She wanted him to pull up her top down?
She
pulled it up extraordinarily fast.
Well, that's not what Zeke thinks.
I'm just going off of video.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Eric in here. Does that say golf?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, John, here you have it. A golf call.
Hey, Eric.
Your Honor, I would like to testify on behalf of the defendant. Golf definitely matters. I'm going to watch it all weekend long. And I want to ask John, because I heard something when I was watching it last night, the replay. They've made some kind of reference that tournament is one of the oldest in the PGA Tour history, and maybe I heard that wrong. And finally, Del, yes, Dark is awesome. It is a great show.
Thank you, and I'm excited, as you should be, that Season 3 premieres either late tonight or in the middle of tomorrow. I'm excited about it. Thank you, Eric. All that was great except for the golf stuff.
It's up in Connecticut. And I can believe that because the tour started in where you could drive to different places and whatnot, and up in the Northeast, and worked its way. But yeah, I could certainly see where that would be one of the oldest tournaments. I don't know. In fact, I don't know, but it makes some sense. That makes some sense. Billy Harmon spent a lot of time up in the New York area at Wingfoot. And his dad up there, and he also was at a club in Connecticut, or was it Connecticut or Rhode Island? Same thing. Anyway, so there were a lot of, I think there were a lot of different courses. You know, a lot of them become obsolete because the guys are so long now. This one still is out there on the tour, which is cool. That's pretty cool. And the guys are taking care of business now. It's a par 70, like Lance said, 10 under. Without two more, he could have easily been 12 under with two more par fives, or even he could have even shot a 59 with two more par fives with an eagle on one. So this is, I can certainly see that. And that's just great golf talk right there.
I can't believe Lance gave you the talking point of now you get to hammer home how difficult a par 70 is. Thanks, Lance, for that.
I know it was an unintended consequence.
Right.
As always. Hey, we have to break it now because I can't believe this, but Jackie, I just said as a joke, call in, and he called in to talk about something with Johnny Manziel. So I'm going to let him do that. This will be an interesting topic when we come, I think, maybe, when we come back. It's 9:27 right here on the bench.
More interesting than golf?
Yeah, more interesting than golf, I believe.
Well, that's dumb.
I think the listeners may believe as well.
No.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, here's a load of crap. Governor Abbott says all bars and similar establishments that receive more than 51% of their gross receipts from the sale of alcoholic beverages are required to close at 12 p.m. today. These businesses may remain open for delivery and takeout, including for alcoholic beverages. So you can get your gin and tonic delivered to your car, Lance.
Yeah, it's always been the case.
Yeah. Although I went to
restaurants are down to 50.
Though I went to a Mexican restaurant though where they wouldn't put the margarita together for you.
No, they can't. That's a TABC law. You have to. So here's the thing: you have to have something that still has a seal on it.
Right.
And that's why, yeah, I had the same thing. Margaritas, that you get your own smaller version of the tequila. You're not supposed to get it. That's why if you go to that place that serves daiquiris off of Washington, right next to the chicken place, it's a drive-through place, and they put tape over the hole where your straw goes. And that's like, oh, it's sealed. There's the
sealed.
Tape. Yeah, sealed. That's how they get by on a technicality.
That's sealed. Restaurants may remain open for dine-in service, but at a capacity not to exceed 50% of total listed indoor capacity. And then rafting and tubing businesses must close, and outdoor gatherings of 100 or more people must be approved by local governments with certain exceptions.
Yeah, the rafting and tubing probably doesn't really matter to us here in Houston so much.
Kinda. What if you have a rafting and tubing company?
That was very specifically for New Braunfels. Hey, New Braunfels. Cut it out.
But the Astros are going to get people in there. So there's that. Is Jackie on the line?
Yeah, he is. Let's go.
Let's get Jackie in here to tell us about, what is he telling us about? Oh, Johnny F in football.
Yeah.
What up, Jackie?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just working out here making a living.
An honest living?
Are you cleaning pools at Zeke Elliott's house?
No, I will not be sending anyone to Ezekiel's house.
No, not with three dogs being. Have you ever been attacked at a house by dogs?
I have not. My son got attacked by a pit bull one time. We were going to look at someone doing a remodel job, and that got after him pretty good.
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you're going to be attacked, I wouldn't mind being attacked at NFL stars because you could sue them and make a lot of money.
Yeah, these guys, we didn't get to sue anybody, but at least they went after him and not me, so it was all right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So what y'all were talking about Johnny Manziel earlier. I texted Lance because it came up about his family being gypsies, and my dad just happens to have a history with their family. They're pretty much back before they found oil and got into cockfighting and everything. They're pretty much straight up gypsies. But I don't know what specifically Lance wants me to tell y'all.
You say whatever you're comfortable saying.
Yeah.
Well, I was just telling him back in the, I guess, late 70s, throughout the 80s and maybe into the 90s, my dad, in addition to his regular job, he was a bookmaker. He kept book, right? And so he knew all of them because when cockfighting was still legal, the Manziels were like huge, huge into that, right? Like that was their thing. And everybody, you had to go to Oklahoma to do it. It was illegal in Texas. So he knew them from there because he and my brothers would go. And I would tag along, but I was like 8, 10 years old. So I never got into it, but I went along for the ride. But anyway, one of them, Lisa Manziel, I guess that was Johnny's aunt. I'm not sure, aunt or cousin, I can't remember, but she was the only one in the family that ever took her money and actually like got an education. She was a lawyer, still is a lawyer. And so she was one of his, you know, she placed bets with him. And so a lot of the people in her office started placing bets with my dad as well. And one of the, I think it was the secretary, I don't remember who it was exactly, just got in kind of deep. And so he was kind of like, you know, give me my money. And the lady told her husband or something, I can't remember, and the husband just went to the authorities and was like, hey, look, you know, we've got this issue going on. So they just came in and busted his door down, took all everything out of the house, all his sheets and his cash and everything. He didn't go to jail or anything. I think it wasn't really much more than a misdemeanor. But anyway, in 20-some-odd years of making books, the only time he ever got busted was because of a Manziel.
Really? Jerks. Yeah. A-holes.
Yeah, I know, right? They couldn't handle their business. But anyway, everything you ever hear about, when he first went to A&M and became the starter, I didn't think twice about it. It just never clicked. And my dad called. He was like, you know who that is, right? And I was like, yeah, sounds familiar, but I don't really know. And then he told me, and I was like, oh, my God, that's those people. But every step along the way, when he would do something completely boneheaded, it was never, never, never surprised. That's in their blood from generations. That whole family is absolutely nuts.
Wow. No surprise then that Johnny's got that in his blood. Jackie, apparently, apparently Gary Rind, you know Gary Rind on Twitter, he says Jackie, Jackie doesn't exactly have the most mannish voice, does he?
Why do people always come after Jackie? You started this bullying culture, John.
No, I didn't.
Guy muted. He's always got something to say.
He's muted? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
yeah, we'll see.
Had you not let me know, I certainly wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah, because that's the best way to go about it, too. They think they're getting you
You never want to block somebody because then they can, like, crow about it. You just mute them, and then they can just go on about their day saying what they say, and you never even have to be aware.
So, I can tell trolls, and this is more NFL draft-wise, but when trolls are trying to come after me and I know that they want their block badge, I call it a block badge, where they, look who blocked me. If you want to see true douchebagness, watch people on Twitter who, like, brag about somebody blocking them, that they've gone after them so hard that they made them basically say, I don't want to hear from you anymore. And I will let the person know, and this is my, especially if I know they don't follow me, what I'll say to them is, listen, I wanted you to know that I'm about to mute you. I'm not going to block you because I know that you want your block badge to show off, but I'm going to mute you this so that you can continue to follow me. Good day, sir. And then you mute. And they're stuck with,
good day, sir.
They want to come back and say, I don't follow you. What are you talking about? I don't even follow you. I would never follow you. But now it doesn't matter because your last word was followed by a mute and they can't say anything. And they don't get their little, what are you going to say? Look who muted me. That doesn't ring. That rings hollow on Twitter, doesn't it? Look who muted me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that just means what a douche. Just
get one last shot in and then mute him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the move.
Well, if you're going to block brag, it just shows what a douche you are.
Yeah.
I was so douchey that you had to block me. That's how douchey I was. Right.
Yes.
No. Muting's the way to go. There's no question about it. But Gary doesn't think you have a masculine voice, so I'm with him on that one.
Yeah. Well. Good all for right. John and Gary.
Okay, Jackie.
I've got a lot of other stories, but I can't tell them on air. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on some things.
Well, you just outed your dad as a bookie, but okay.
Yeah, that's like 20 some odd. He's 70-something years old now. What are they going to do with him? They can't put him in. You can't put him in prison.
Ooh, anymore. He's a bookie. Ooh.
Danger.
What
danger
a dangerous person he is making book. I can't believe he's society crumbles as he takes a $50 wager on the Jets +9. Oh, why is he helping to end society as we know it? Civilizations crumble.
Yeah, the worst thing about the whole ordeal was he had to get his door fixed because they knocked it in, and he lost all his cash, right? Because it was all cash, especially back then. There was no PayPal or anything like that. So he had to fix his own door without cash that they took. But as far as legal trouble, honest to God, I think it's just like a kind of a misdemeanor of some kind. It's not even that big of a deal.
Oh, there are guys that have done time now. There are guys that have done time.
Yeah, I'm sure, depending on how big you are. He mm-hmm. probably had 20 or 30 people that played with him. He wasn't big time.
Unless you're involved in some type of legitimate organized crime that's more than just taking action and paying out action, and there's no physical violence and all that. I mean, I can't even express, and this has been this way for years for me. This is the most asinine thing, the complaint, what we allow in society, but that anyone goes after gambling still is the most, when we have legalized gambling with lottery all the time, and certain I can't even do it with people who, oh, the gambling. And luckily, I don't think there's a lot of them. Well, I say there's not a lot of them that exist. I know we'll never get it because, you know, I don't know. I feel like Tillman needs to protect his Vegas and Louisiana entities, and then you've got Oklahoma that doesn't want us coming into their territory. There's a lot of reasons for the states around us not to want us to get gambling in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
No, absolutely. There's a lot of reason for Tillman not to want it. Not with the billion that he put into Lake Charles. I mean, so, yeah, I could certainly understand. You can understand that. I don't think there's any question. Jackie, are you going to be – what are you going to do next week? Are you just going to take – are you just going to lay in bed all day since we're not going to be on the air next week?
I tuned in this morning and heard y'all say, and it crushed me. I don't know. I'll drink, I guess.
Drink in the morning.
I'll just get up and start drinking.
I know this. I'll be on vacation next week. I'm going to do that. I'm going to drink in the morning.
Well, it'll be like we're drinking together, not together.
Yeah, only not together, which is the best way for me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right, fellas.
All right, there's Jackie right here on ESPN 97.5. Out in his dad as a bookie.
What a joy for Jackie to call into the show. And then John to make reference to.
I'm like, hey, call in. And then John's like, what a feminine voice you have.
Yeah, someone says you have a feminine voice, and I agree with
him. You didn't have to read that. Yeah, you said it, and I agree with
yeah.
you. What do you mean you didn't say it? You said it out loud.
I can't. Well, I don't want to disagree
with
Gary.
This is my favorite. John
asked
for phone calls, and when they call in, he calls
them. And he has feelings, too. Jackie's already muted him. So, I mean, do you think that that's acceptable to Gary now?
John, call into the show. Also, John, you've got an effeminate voice.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't initially say it, but I agree with the guy who did.
No, I'm just saying Gary's got a heart and a soul too, okay?
Well, yeah,
so
but
we got to make sure that Gary feels good about himself.
No one said Gary couldn't tweet it. You saw it, but did you have to inform Jackie that what Gary said?
Kind of did.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want Jackie to be informed. Hey, knowledge is power.
And then also, Jackie, we're gonna be doing the same thing. Both of us drinking in the morning. But I'm glad you won't be around when I'm drinking.
Did Lance just sneeze?
He did.
Oh my God, he's got the Roni all over Joel's mic.
I didn't sneeze.
He's got the Roni all over Joel's mic.
Well, speaking of that,
there's new symptoms,
Joel. Treats Lance like he's a
dirty
pig.
Call Joel up when we come back. Call Joel up. I got beef with Joel. I got a bone to pick with Joel when we come back.
Okay, that's going to happen when we come back. Oh, it's not finally something substantive here. Worst horse show ever. Jackie tweeted. time for me to talk about. Do you want to talk about the best? That's Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. I'm looking at a countertop right here, and it makes a huge difference. In everything, it changes the room when you've got a nice marble countertop that is just gorgeous to look at and matches and fits whatever room that you're in. And if you have countertop issues, we had them at our house too, and Jeff came over. It actually, the molding around ours, and Jeff said, I got this. While he was doing our outdoor patio and kitchen, he was fixing the molding around ours. Now, that's a too small a job. But you know what? If it's a little side job for him while he's doing another big job for you, then he can get that job done as well. He doesn't. He doesn't do small jobs. There are two jobs that are too small. None too big, though. None too big. Entire hotels he does with their vanities and more. So if you're looking for that beauty, and I'm telling you, you will save money with Jeff because you don't need somebody else that is going to design it, that'll be the architect of it, that will pick everything. Jeff can do it all. So have him come to your home and tell you exactly what you need to do, which is the best way to put this kitchen together. Because he's done hundreds of them, thousands of them. I have no idea how many. But he'll know exactly where the grill should go. He'll know where the sink should go. He'll know where even the garbage and the cabinets and everything else should go and your outdoor kitchen. So if you're looking for that, if you're looking for a guy that's going to help you out and you're not very good at it, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So there's beef in the studio. I'm not there because I that's all I care about is my fellow worker and safety, okay? So I didn't come. Lance is sneezing all over the equipment.
There's a concern. There's a concern. We tried to call Joel. We couldn't get a hold of him. Here's the thing. I'm on the same microphone that Joel uses when he comes in. Now,
right.
We are in the midst of a coronavirus.
He doesn't use that mic.
He doesn't?
He uses the one next to you.
He uses that one?
Yes.
So he doesn't even use this one?
No.
But he sits here.
Yeah, he moves it over to where you're sitting, but he doesn't use that mic.
Okay. Well, I bet it's because I use it. Or has he always done it?
I think he's always used two, or maybe he just doesn't like following you, period.
All right, so I found out that Dell was kind of a germaphobe yesterday, and I definitely found out that Eric Layden was a germaphobe when we were taping our podcast this week, and it'll be out, I don't know.
Well, were you two sharing the microphone?
Well,
like
no, he
Crosby,
just...
Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
No, he just told me. He told me he was a germaphobe, and I found out because of the eating lunch thing where... He has to wash his hands after somebody tries to shake his hand when he's eating. He just thinks that's disgusting. And that's before a pandemic. Well, anyway, when Joel comes in, he takes this Windex germ killer, multi-surface, and he sprays it so aggressively all over where I've been sitting, like it's covered in Windex. This is right when I get up. And it hurts me a little bit that he thinks I'm this dirty of a person, that I am just steeped in coronavirus and whatever other disease that I may be carrying. Joel sprays it down. I mean, it's an aggressive spraying, John. It's frankly way too much. It's wasteful.
Now, I would have thought you'd be used to that by now, people coming after you and like spraying or disinfecting.
No. Why would I be?
I don't know. It just seems like that would be appropriate behavior for anybody after you.
It's not
well,
normal.
No, I did hear
them. Is
this
Joel here?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Lance always leaves rings from his Starbucks cup on the desk, right, where everybody's got to work. That's what Lance does.
That's Raheel crying about that. And I started to get something.
No, I think it was Joel that said it.
Well,
Let Joel answer. He's
okay,
on the line.
Joel's on the line, John.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah, Joel's on the line, and Joel's wondering where the hell Lance gets off saying any of this, because it's not just about the rings on the desk. The last time that you would have used the spray cleaner for anything other than to spray your hands, which is bizarre, you don't spray down the desk. You don't spray down the mic.
Sometimes.
You got your drink circles all over the place. There's Band-Aid wrappers.
I don't have Band-Aid.
Band-Aid wrappers
here. That's
on the table.
There's
your headset is still plugged in from a borrowed headset. The only thing that's sanitary is the stool because you bring your own chair.
Yeah, but why do you think that I'm so dirty that you have to spray 14 gallons of Windex every day on one spot? Even Charlie doesn't do that.
Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Charlie goes even above and beyond me, and he gets very anal when the spray is not around. But we look and we just wait for you to clear, because then we just kind of survey the scene and go, well, there's like drink spots all over the place, which means he didn't do the counter. Then we look at the table and go, well, that's worse. The headphones are still plugged in on like volume 63, and everything looks like disheveled. I'm like, well, give me about 4 or 5 minutes. We'll clean this whole thing up for Lance. The crime scene, we won't put any kind of body outline, but it's pretty bad.
Do you guys bring in a fogger, too, and fog the whole place before the show starts?
They would.
If we had time, we would, but we just don't have that much time.
Now, when I was in studio, I would spray my area and wipe it down after I was done.
Yep, we do before.
Right? But Charlie sits in my chair.
Right.
And so, and I would spray my area and wipe it down after we were done, so that I would leave it nice for. And one time I forgot to take my mic condom off, but other than that, I took my mic condom off and I left it a clean area, Lance. You know what that is? That's being considerate for your fellow worker.
Yeah. Well, I think we
respectful,
know
respectful, Lance.
We know Lance's attitude.
Your bitches wishes you had this.
Well, because the mic condom, that's another point, John. He uses the other mic on my side, but the mic condom is always still there.
Yeah, you never turn your mic back on.
Oh, no, no. I started taking it off.
Have you?
Yeah, I did. Why? Yeah, I did the last 2 days ever since I started juicing.
Yeah, what? Lance doesn't really have a care for others. I think we know that to be the case.
No, he doesn't care about anybody else around.
My care's lower than some, but not as low as yours. But on a scale, I would give myself a 4.
I don't care about people.
I give myself a strong 4.
But Nick will attest to it. When we had wipes and I still had them, I would wipe down my area. I would spray it down when he came in, because I know I don't believe I have the owner, but who knows? Maybe I'm just asymptomatic and I don't want to pass it on. You don't have those same concerns.
I mean, I do my best.
And John, I know Charlie was, I'm surprised he didn't reach out to you. I think he wanted any and all data from you sent directly to him because he was extremely concerned.
Any and all
when you kind of tested positive for the coronavirus, kind of by proxy.
No, I didn't test.
Well, you married into it.
Well, I married into the Rona, yeah. No, actually, yeah. I spawned the Rona.
Charlie, when I saw him the other day, he goes, so John's wife and child have it now.
Yep.
Yeah.
John, because before you actually went for the test, when there was just that undercurrent of what might be,
yeah,
he was like, John better not be coming in for at least 2 weeks, and I better get those test results by Monday.
Hey, what? Like we can blame anyone. I don't know if you know this. It's a pandemic, and stuff happens, okay? How do I know Charlie didn't give it to Frankie?
That would be another story all in itself, and that would be highly disturbing.
When would they ever be in the same place?
I don't know. Maybe they went to a party together in Austin. I don't know. Charlie's taking days off all the time. He could have gone to a party in Austin with Frankie and all her friends. I don't know.
You think Charlie and Frankie would have been at the same party?
I don't know. I have no idea. But don't say, oh, John giving me the coronavirus. Better find what? Listen. It's a pandemic, all right? It's insidious. It's into our. It's droplets. How do you know where it came from? Do you know that Rudy Gobert gave it to Donovan Mitchell?
No.
Donovan Mitchell might have given it to Rudy Gobert. We don't know.
One thing Frankie and Lance have in common is they don't treat the Roni seriously. Because Lance won't clean up after themselves. We know Frankie was out doing whatever.
I clean up. Every day I used to put the Clorox wipes, and then the coronavirus went away.
Wait, used to?
I still consider it.
You consider it, but you don't do it.
I'll do Windex. Yeah, I do Windex. Not after I leave.
No,
wait
a minute, guys. Here's the other thing. Because I'm clean. Brought up because Charlie thought this was disturbing too. We had that tequila smelling hand sanitizer for a while.
It was terrible.
And it was sitting right there on the table. And Lance would come in before we were done with a segment. And he would load up the spray bottle and just spray down his hand.
I did that once.
Instead of using the sanitizer and then walk out.
Because that hand sanitizer that's a joke sanitizer. That's not a real one. I think that was somebody ordered that as a prank. It smells like butthole. It's terrible.
It smells like tequila.
No, that other one was even worse. It's the worst hand sanitizer I've ever smelled. I wish it smelled like tequila.
Well, I know this. Charlie watched you do it, and he goes, I don't think that's sanitary. I don't know if it has ill effects on your hands or not, but that doesn't look good.
I mean, it's unorthodox. It doesn't mean it's non-sanitary.
I told him Moises Alou peed on his hands, so, I mean, anything in between might be sanitary, too.
You didn't tell him anything new.
He knew that.
A sports fact that Charlie didn't know? Nice try, Joel.
Good point. No, that's a good point. Very good point. Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe, Joel, you have some righteous concerns considering who you follow and considering a quote like this.
I'm going up in that.
This is a man.
Now, to Lance's credit, because he doesn't give you guys any consideration at all, but when he does leave the studio, that's when he puts the disposable mask on.
Yeah, safety first.
So basically, screw you, Dell, and screw us for being in the studio, but then anybody that's in the office, he's going to give some respect to.
I'm not showing Dell respect when he doesn't show anybody respect. He sits in his little hole in there, in his bulletproof glass hole, and just takes shots at us and his Yeah, that's all he does.
Yeah,
Joel.
No,
maybe
no,
you're
you
not
can't,
familiar
no,
with
no
this
respect,
show.
Joel. Just
no respect.
Don't listen to them. Just know that Lance is dirty.
Oh. I'm going up in that.
No. So tell Charlie I will be back July 6th, which is 3.5 weeks.
Bring your test.
Well, John, maybe Charlie will be back by then, too, because with all his vacation time, I don't know when I'm going to see him again.
Oh, well, welcome to
if
the
you
party.
If you do see him, Joel, if you do happen to see him in the middle of the summer of Charlie.
If you happen to see Charlie this summer.
Right. Then tell him I'll be back July 6th, okay? And he can sanitize before he sits down, okay?
He will bring his extra fireworks, I'm sure, and celebrate on the 6th.
I'm positive. All right, Joel.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
All right. Sorry you have to follow dirty, filthy Lance. Yeah, that's a shame. Anybody who has to follow filthy Lance.
I'm going up in that ass. Ring. Oh. So we're worried about ring. We're worried
he's dirty.
About coffee
John, you know
rings
he's dirty.
Now. That's nothing.
Dirty. You're
that's
dirty.
Not a big deal.
You say dirty things.
Coffee rings from iced coffee doesn't promote coronavirus.
Del, what's your nickname for Lance?
Trash ass Lance. I'm just make sure you clean up after you do this.
I'm going up in that ass.
Make sure you clean it because Joel doesn't want your germs.
When did I say that?
I have no idea.
I don't remember the context.
Well, context doesn't matter.
What's the context mean?
What's that's the context what said? Of that one? I'm going up in that.
You said I'm going up in that, or you said something else too. Context doesn't matter anymore for you.
Well, wait a minute. You cut it off. Which one is it?
Well, he said multiple. He said it multiple times.
Oh. I couldn't have said it multiple times.
You have.
I'm going up in that ass. Mm. I must have meant it.
Must have. Wow. Boy, somebody got aggressive. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to hang out here on are you done?
He is. I don't know.
Yeah. I got to get done.
He was packing up.
All right.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. July 6th?
Yeah.
July 6th.
Oh, that's the Monday?
Yeah,
that's the Monday. Yeah, 4th of July is on
Saturday.
We just don't get a day for 4th of July this year.
Yeah, you do.
What day?
You're only taking 4 vacation days.
Oh, the 3rd isn't a vacation day?
The 3rd is not a vacation day.
Oh, okay. We're just out, though. We're all out.
It's not like you're going to use up your vacation days anyway. This is the first vacation we're taking in 2020. 2020 sucks.
It does suck.
No, not for Charlie. He's taking all his.
Well,
but
Charlie's good, but.
For us.
It's the first one I've had since July.
Yeah.
Last
this
July.
This is the first since Christmas.
My Same Christmas year. Vacation was writing up players, but this is my first real vacation for, I guess, 11 months.
Oh, well, nice.
And it's just time off.
What we're trying to say is we work hard.
That's what we do.
Yeah, we do work hard.
9:59.
Grinders. But I'm still caged
inside. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do